All right, we want to pick up the teaching that we started. This is, we are third in the series, Rightly Dividing the Word. Rightly Dividing the Word. It could easily have been called the Covenants and Dispensations of the Bible. That's what it could have been called. But I really, would you put it at an angle so that everybody can see? There should be writing on that other side. Okay, up on the stage. Thank you so much. So to... Just to reiterate some of the things we covered in the first two lessons, because it's been a little while since we covered this material, and I see that the pens are missing. I don't know where they are. But anyway, we might probably get away without them, but I would prefer to have pens if I can. All right, so the first thing we need to remember is this. We want to avoid misappropriating Scripture. Using Scripture for the wrong reason, okay? So we don't want to do that. In order to avoid misappropriating Scripture, there are four things you've got to know. Number one, you've got to know who's speaking. And I know if you read the Bible, it's God's Word, but God is not always speaking, okay? Sometimes Job is speaking. Sometimes Satan is speaking to Jesus, okay? And he says, you know, jump off and do this, all right? So there's no way you can go and take that Scripture and say, no, well, the Bible says I need to jump off. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know it sounds ridiculous, but if you go from the ridiculous, then you can get down to the part where there are problems that are occurring in the body of Christ because they are mixing up the Bible and taking things out of its setting and trying to use it, and you should not be doing that. So who is speaking, and then to whom is being spoken? Who's the person being spoken to? All right. If Moses is saying to the Egyptians, if you don't let my people go, I'm going to bring fire down or plagues or whatever it is, then you need to understand that that's not God telling you he's going to bring plagues down on you. You can't put yourself in their position. Very simple. But you'll see as we get on in the Scripture that that's exactly what people tend to do. They tend to put themselves in the wrong place, and that causes problems. So who is speaking and who is being spoken to? Then you need to know in which dispensation is this happening. And we'll talk a little bit more about dispensations today. And then also under what covenant. There are different covenants in the Bible, and you need to know because different covenants have different rules that apply, okay? And you can't mix up the covenants. So, the bottom line is this. Only instruction to the body of Christ, that's us. The body of Christ came into being on the day of Pentecost. Only instruction to the body of Christ is applicable to us. Only promises made to the body of Christ can be appropriated by the body of Christ. We can take the promises that have been made for us and we can use them. Don't be taking other people's promises, okay? Take the ones that, there's quite enough that's been given to us. You don't need to take anybody else's, okay? All right, so now let's talk about the covenants and dispensations. Let me first try and explain to you what a dispensation is. A dispensation is a divine ordering of worldly affairs. Dispensation has got nothing to do with heaven. It has to do with the earth. It's what's going on earth. So it is a divine appointment on the earth of a religious system. A dispensation is a divine act of dispensing something on the earth, giving something out in the earth. Dispensations are clearly marked with a beginning and an end. So if I went back to the dispensation of conscience during Noah's time, clearly it doesn't exist because it ended with the flood. That dispensation is gone. You understand? It's gone. You can't go back to that dispensation and try and live under that dispensation. It's not available to you. Nothing in that dispensation is available to you. So let me give you the seven dispensations. They're up on the board. The first one we spoke about was the dispensation of conscience. Can you see from the side? Okay. Dispensation, sorry, of innocence. The first one is innocence. And this one here begins with the creation of man and ends with the fall of man and the curse that was placed upon the earth. It also includes the expulsion from the Garden of Eden. So it begins with a great promise God gives to Adam, ends with judgment. Every single dispensation begins with a promise and ends with judgment. Nice. See, it's not that hard. And that will help you to identify the dispensation. So that's the first one. The second one is the dispensation of conscience. This time, it begins with God making a promise. And the promise is the first redemptive promise, where he said the seed of the woman was going to crush Satan's head. Remember that? That is the first redemptive promise made by God. So that's how it begins. But it ends over here with the flood of Noah. Judgment comes upon the earth. Very clear. Promise, judgment. The next one is civil government or human government, and it's actually a very short time period. And it begins with the promise to Noah with the rainbow. And God makes a covenant with Noah and a covenant with the earth. He promises the earth and all the animals on the earth that they're never going to flood again. That's the promise he makes. He enters into a covenant. He has a sign of the covenant, which is the rainbow. That is the sign. That is the sign that there is a covenant that he's made. All right. Then man gets all smart and clever, builds the Tower of Babel, builds the Tower of Babel, and God comes along, judges that system, that human government system, and disperses the people. That judgment and dispersion is the end of civil government and that dispensation. Okay? Easy enough? Following so far?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, the next thing that happens is that God calls Abraham. Of course, when he calls him, he's Abram. He doesn't have the latter part. He doesn't have the ham part on him yet. Okay, that comes later as he makes the covenant with God. God changes his name. But God calls him with this promise. And he begins this with this promise. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, notice this. Please be careful. Notice this. Who is going to be blessed? Who? Did he say Israel or all the families? Do you notice that he opened the door right there for us to come in? Now, that is the first secretive hint that people other than the Jews are going to have God as their God. It's a secret. The church age is a secret. It is a mystery throughout the entire Old Testament. You can't find the church age. But there are hints at it. And that is the first hint. Okay? Now, this promise to Abraham ends with bondage and judgment. Again, now the Jewish nation are in bondage to who? The Egyptians. And judgment comes upon the Egyptians for them to come out. Okay? And we know that the judgment that came upon the Egyptians ends with blood. It ends with the lamb taking the blood of the lamb and the blood of the lamb protecting them. But the firstborn dies under judgment. Who's already seen? Who can see the symbolism right there? What's going on? Who's going to be the firstborn? Jesus. Whose blood is going to protect? Jesus. You follow?
Yes.
Jesus is the Lamb. So this is where the judgment comes down upon the Egyptians. Now the next dispensation starts as Moses leads them out from under the bondage and God gives Moses a promise. This is the beginning of the dispensation of law. And we'll get into that today. That's part of what I want to cover. So a new covenant begins as they exit out of Egypt. And of course, it ends, this is where it begins, it's called the dispensation of law, and it ends with judgment. And who could tell me what judgment it is that brings it to an end? the crucifixion. The crucifixion of Jesus is judgment. And that's what ends the dispensation of law. It stops right there. And that is the end and the fulfillment of the dispensation of the law. Once Jesus comes along, a new promise is given. The dispensation of grace of the Holy Spirit of the church begins. Now we're in a new dispensation. If you're in this new dispensation, you can't go back and live in this dispensation, because you have to go through the cross to do it. Just as well, you can't go back here. You have to go through Egypt. You can't go back here. You have to go through the flood. You can't go back here. You have to go through to the Tower of Babel. Do you understand that? You can't go back. The people who go back from here to here don't recognize the power of the cross. They don't recognize the judgment of the cross. What they're saying is that this dispensation is still in force now. And it is not in force now. We're in the dispensation of the church, dispensation of grace, dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And began on the day of Pentecost with the outpouring of the Spirit. When does it end? It ends right over here. Be careful now. It's important to know where this ends, because you see, the tribulation is not the judgment. Listen carefully. The tribulation is the last opportunity for people to get saved. It's God's grace reaching out to people. Then the great tribulation occurs and judgment comes down upon the Antichrist system of government and the Antichrist system of religious rule. It comes down right over there. That's the ultimate. It's people talk about Armageddon. That's not Armageddon. It's not the end of the world. It is only a judgment upon the Antichrist system that ends the dispensation of grace and the Holy Spirit in the church age. Church age is ended right there. That's where it finishes. Okay? You still with me? You tracking? Okay. The next thing that happens is the final dispensation that we know of from Scripture, and it is referred to as the Millennium Kingdom Dispensation. It begins with the second coming of Jesus. Remember something. The second coming of Jesus is not to be confused with the rapture. At the rapture, Jesus does not touch the ground. He's in the air. So the second coming of Jesus and the rapture are two separate things. Why do we say the second coming? Well, the first coming is when he got crucified. He came and he got crucified after 33 years. Okay, he was on the earth. The next time we see Jesus, those who are born again, who love him with all their heart, who are saved, the next time they see him physically will be the rapture. And they will be taken off the earth and meet him in the air. The Bible is clear about it. I mean, this sounds like sci-fi, but I'm telling you, the Bible actually has it. It says those very words. We'll be taken off the earth, we'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye, we'll meet him in the air, and we'll always be with the Lord thereafter. Then he comes 7 years later, and he comes and lands on the Mount of Olives. He comes and he lands and he introduces the Millennium Kingdom, and his reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords takes place on the earth. The rapture is not for Jesus to come back and to take over rulership of the earth. It's to get his people out of here before all hell breaks loose. You understand? We will not be here to see that. I have absolute proof of it. He took Noah out before he judged the earth. He took Lot and his wife out of Sodom and Gomorrah before he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. He's taking us out before the judgment comes. That's the way he does it. And if you don't believe in the rapture, you hide and wait. Just don't grab my heel on the way up. All right, now, those are the dispensations. Now, let's go on to the covenants. There are several covenants or agreements in the Old Testament. The Old Testament. From here, the cross of Jesus back this way is the Old Testament. The old agreement. Now, let me ask you this. Did the cross of Jesus occur at the beginning of the Gospels or the end of the Gospels? See, the Gospels that we have written in the New Testament, the Gospels are written here. And they tell Jesus' life from his birth to the crucifixion. Unfortunately, the Bible is split down here. Isn't it? So that the Gospels of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are included in the New Testament canon. The problem with that is that many people who read it take the Gospel as being New Testament, New Covenant teaching. And that's where the biggest problem occurs. You have to understand, this dispensation ended at the cross, not at his birth. Are you listening? Not at his birth. All the miracles Jesus did, he did under the old covenant. Now listen carefully, not by the law, but by the faith of Abraham through this covenant. That's how he did it. That's how everybody got healed while Jesus was ministering. It had nothing to do with the law. You know why? There was no mercy and no grace in the law. If you did the law, you got blessed. If you didn't, you got cursed. So all the people coming along sick were obviously what? Cursed. How could they suddenly be healed without them doing something to earn their healing? That was the law. Since they did not have to do anything, they got it by faith, which means they got it from the Abrahamic covenant. The good news is we're now going into covenants, and I'm going to show you that the covenant with Abraham is an everlasting covenant. I didn't say the dispensation. I said the covenant. Are you learning something? Okay, please stay with me. I know it's very basic. I know that. It might even be boring. Okay, so, but do your best to stay with me, because we've got to lay a foundation, because we'll build upon this foundation. And I promise you that when you walk into that which God wants you to have today, you'll be a powerful, powerful sausage. Okay? All right. So let's talk about the agreements and the agreements in the Old Testament, the agreements that were made, the covenants that were made, where two people make a pact together. We will do this for each other. If you do this, I'll do this. There's an agreement. We stand in agreement. It's recorded. It's a covenant. It's a testament between God and somebody on the earth. Now, the ones we want to draw your attention to, the one he made with Adam, all the way back here, which we covered last time we spoke. Then he made one with Noah. He made a promise. He made a covenant with Noah. Then he makes one with Abraham, a covenant, an agreement, a pact. Then he makes one with Moses. Then there is the Palestinian one, which most people have no clue that even exists. Then there's the one he made with David. And a lot of people say, no, I know about the Davidic covenant. Well, good. And then there's the new covenant. And when I say new covenant, everybody immediately goes rushing here. Don't you? Well, I'm going to take you right back from here, and I'm going to take you back here, and I'm going to show you the new covenant. Hello. You with me?
Yes.
You're not. I know you're not. Show me. I can hear you. I can read your mind. Show me. Well, I gave you the scripture, Jeremiah 31:31, last time we were together. And God, Jeremiah is where? Which dispensation is Jeremiah? Back here. And Jeremiah the prophet says by the Holy Ghost, there's coming a time that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. That's what it says. Who's the covenant with? Who's it with? And I will write my laws upon your heart. And I will give you a new heart. I will make a new covenant with you, with the house of Israel. He didn't say with the Gentiles. Are you learning something?
Yes.
Are you just a little uneasy?
No.
No, good. All right. Let's go to the Abrahamic covenant. If you can, turn me in your Bible to Genesis 12, verse 1. If not, we have it on the screen for you. Genesis 12, 1. The Lord said to Abram, notice his name is still Abram at this stage, hasn't changed. This is what he says to him. Leave your country, leave your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. He has a promise. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Got it? And Abraham, through his lineage, Israel comes along. Then he says, and he has the hint of the new covenant through Abraham. All people, all, everybody say all people, on earth will be blessed through you. Not just Israel, all people. That's another hint to the fact that the Gentiles will be included. Now we bump down to Genesis 15. We're continuing. Verse 4. The word of the Lord came to Abram. And he says, this man, Eliezer, will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside and he said, look up at the heavens, count the stars. If indeed you can count them. And then he said, so shall your offspring be. Question. Billions and trillions of stars, correct? How many Jewish people are there? A billion? Trillion? Hundreds of millions? So what is he talking about? He's talking about us. It's part of the mystery that he's unraveling. He's letting Abraham know that the offspring coming from you is going to touch the whole world, all nations, all families, as many as the stars. Approximately 2.5 billion people right now are born again Christians on the earth. Okay? That's a lot out of 7 billion. Now, so shall your offspring be. Going to be offspring of faith that he's going to be talking about. Abraham believed the Lord, believed what he said, and notice what happened. And he credited it to him as what? Everybody say righteousness. Righteousness is the thing that we all desire. It's right standing with God. How did Abraham get it? By believing in God. Abraham's covenant was based on faith. Abraham believed God in a time of impossible situation. God said, because you're believing, you're in right standing with me. I consider it okay, justified in right standing. That's the basis of the Abrahamic covenant. It is a covenant of faith. And Abraham is referred to as the father of faith. That's where it starts, right there. Okay? So get that clear. Abraham fell down. Well, let me just back up a little bit. Genesis 15, 17. Now, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with blazing torch appeared and it went between the pieces. If you read the whole story, you'll see that he had split animals up and he had laid them all out. And Abraham was standing there defending the animals from the birds and everything else. And then the night came and he was still awake and he stayed awake to defend his sacrifice. And then suddenly this burning flame comes down out of heaven and begins to pass through amidst of his the flesh that he's got laid out there. And God speaks out of the flame to him. And he says to him, he speaks out of the torch of the flame as he passed through the pieces. And he said, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. And he said, to your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. To whom was this covenant made? To Abraham and his descendants. Does it refer to all families of the earth? Or is it specifically referring to a land portion of the world? Can you see? It's very clear. He's making a promise to Abraham concerning a portion of land. And he says, I'm giving this land to you. And he tells me exactly. It's from this river to this river. God gave it to him. All right? Now, let's read on. Genesis 17, we're continuing. Verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. Verse 2, I will confirm. Everybody say confirm. Again. Confirm, it's not a new one. I will confirm my covenant between me and you. He is confirming, he's not making a new one. And I will greatly increase your numbers. So Rest assured, there's going to be a great increase in them. I'm just confirming what I said to you a few years ago. And Abraham fell on his face and he said, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. Of how many nations?
Many, many,
many. Not one, not Israel. Of how many?
Many?
Many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, but your name will now be Abraham. He took the H out of Jehovah, put it into his name, and now he's in covenant with God. He actually has God's name, and the name Abraham now means father of many nations. That's exactly what it means. So when Abraham introduced himself, he actually said, and I am father of many nations. How are you? And he had no children. And 9 months after he changed his name, he'd waited 25 years. 9 months after he changed his name, his wife gave birth. How come? Changed the words he was saying. Just before this, he was saying, where are the children? Where are the children? Where have you promised me? And he changed his name. He said, okay, now I want you to say this in future. Do you go around telling everybody you are the father of many nations? Go ahead. And he, well, okay. There it came. Confession. Was the outworking of the covenant, right? Now, let's read on. Verse 5, no longer will you be called Abram, but you will be called Abraham. I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations, plural, of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant. Hold on now, underline this. Get ready. As a what covenant? As a what covenant? God himself said the covenant with Abraham is going to be an everlasting covenant, which means it's not going to end. Now, do you see why it still exists today? The Abrahamic covenant is in existence today because God said it is an everlasting covenant. He's the one who made it an everlasting covenant. It's between me and you and your descendants after you for all the generations to come to be what? Your God and God to your descendants after you. That is the introduction that God was making in the earth with Abraham, a covenant whereby the rest of the world, including us, would be able to call God, God, our God. And that would be an everlasting promise that he made, an everlasting agreement. Now, the whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give you as an everlasting possession. Ha! Huh. Hello? So what's the news? Watch the news. It's now written. It has been written. It's an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. Now, this is my covenant which I'm making with your descendants after you. The covenant that you to keep, every male among you shall be what? Circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision. It will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Females were not required. Males were. It was a sign, just like the rainbow, is a sign that you're in covenant. That's why when you go to the New Testament, why there's such havoc when Christians or Gentiles become Christians and adopt what they think was the Jewish faith. But it isn't. It's a new covenant under Jesus, a covenant of grace. And they say, well, at least you could do is be circumcised. Because they go all the way back to Abraham and they said, if you're going to be in covenant with Abraham, you know, the covenant he's made, you got to be circumcised. And then God comes along and says, I'm going to circumcise your heart. You know, that's in scripture. Okay. Now, there is so much more that I could tell you about that covenant, but I think it's enough for you to have grasped this covenant. Let's move on to the next one because the next one is very impactful. It's the Mosaic covenant. And it's very impactful for where we are today because this is the greatest area of confusion. So we start in Exodus 19 and verse 5. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, Exodus, the book Exodus is written because and called Exodus because that's when they exited out of Egypt. Easy to remember. Exodus, Exodus. And that's when the law was given, the covenant of Moses. If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, obey me and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be treasured, my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Who is he talking to?
Israel.
Israel. Who is the kingdom of priests?
Israel.
Who is the holy nation? I've lost 90% of you. Would you please read your Bible? That's all I ask. These are the words you're to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. And the people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought the answer back to the Lord. And if you read Exodus 20, you'll find the Ten Commandments now come up in Exodus 20. And there are hundreds of laws that are laid down as part of this pact, as part of this contract, as part of this agreement. It is a covenant. Understand, agreement is like, for example, if Scott and I entered into a contract to do the work for the building, and we said, you're going to do this wall, you're going to do that, you're going to do this drywalling, you're going to break down, you're going to tear, you're going to carry it all out, blah, and all of these things you're going to do. And for that, you're going to be paid X amount of dollars. But if you don't finish by Saturday, I'm going to penalize you at $1,000 a day because we can't have church in here. You understand? And we both sign it, and we now have an agreement. There are blessings and cursings in this agreement. You get it?
Yes.
Blessings if he does it, cursings if he doesn't. And that's what happened with Moses. God said, if you do this, you're going to get blessed. If you don't do this, you're going to get penalized. How simple is that? Okay. Now, part of that agreement, well, all of you, if you look at all the laws, about 600 odd laws that are written down. What you should eat, what you should wear, when you should bathe, if you're sick, what you should do. Everything is written down. Now, let me take you to the Palestinian covenant, which follows immediately afterwards, because it is so closely linked with the Mosaic that people do not understand that they're different, and yet they're the same. Watch. We go now. Moses is 120 years old, all right? He's coming to the end of his leadership role. He's taken them through the desert, and he's about to hand over the leadership to Joshua. Joshua's going to take over from him. And Joshua is going to take him into the promised land. Now, you remember why Moses was not able to take the people into the promised land? Do you remember?
Yes.
Do you remember God told him to speak to the rock? The first time he was permitted, he was to hit the rock, and water came out from it. Next time, he said, speak to the rock, but Moses was angry, and he hit the rock. Now, why did that exclude him from going in? The disobedience was this, that hitting the rock the first time was Jesus being beaten, and Jesus is not going to be beaten the second time. Anytime you need from God, after that, you speak it, and the rock will provide. You don't have to hit the rock. That's been beaten. Okay? So he messed up. Moses messed up. You see, the law, which was Moses, put Jesus to death, beat him. And out of Jesus came living water. Living water. The living water is now freely available to all who will come and drink. All you have to do is speak and it's yours. But Moses tried to carry the law into the new covenant and beat it again. And he said, not only have you been disobedient, but you have messed up big time. Because Moses, you should know better. Moses was talking to God face to face. See, the more knowledge you have, the more responsibility you're going to have. Okay. Now, another reason is this. Canaan is referred to as the what land?
Promise.
The promised land. We don't have a promised land. We have a land of promises. The law cannot take you into the land of promises. Faith does. Moses, who represented the law, could not take them into the promised land. He could not. Because the law can never bless you that way. It cannot. So Moses was forbidden for entering or taking them into the promised land. Ha. Are you still with me?
Yes.
You staying with me, all of you?
Yep.
All right. Now, 120 years go by. We're now Deuteronomy 29. Beginning at verse 1. Deuteronomy 29, 1. Now, these are the terms of the covenant the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites. With the who?
Israelites.
Who is speaking? God speaking to who? Moses. Moses is the mediator. And who is involved? Israelites. You realize that you'll be a party crasher if you try and get in there. This is not for you. You can't take it. You can't use it. It's not for you. You're not an Israelite. Now, he said he made this with the Israelites in Moab. In addition to the covenant he made with them in Horeb. Horeb is where they made the first covenant when they came out of Egypt. This is a second, but it is in addition, and it adds it together. So Moses summoned all Israel and he said to them, carefully follow the terms of this covenant, the terms of this agreement, the terms. Follow the terms. Easy enough? Follow the terms. There's a legal agreement here. Follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything you do. All of you are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God, your leaders and chief men, your elders and officials, and all the other men of Israel, together with your children and your wives and the aliens living in your camps who chop your wood and carry your water. You are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day and sealing with an oath to confirm you this day as his people, that he may be your God as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am making this covenant with its oath, not only with you who are standing here today in the presence of the Lord your God, but also those who are not here today. Talking about Israel. And then he pronounces the curses and the blessings, and he lists them all. Blessings for obedience, curses if you're disobedient. Moses lays it down for everybody to follow. It's very easy. It's laid out. Blessings and cursings. Blessings. It's part of the Mosaic law, part of the Mosaic dispensation, the law of dispensation, the law of dispensation, and the covenant of the law. Got it? Verse Deuteronomy 30, verse 1, we keep reading. When all these blessings and curses have been set before you, come upon you and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations. And when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. He will have compassion on you and he gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Is that happening today? The Jews are returning from all the nations. If it applied to us, we should all move to Israel. Just saying. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, which was an everlasting covenant. And you will take possession of it, and you will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. The Lord God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate you and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord, follow all his commandments I'm giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you the most prosperous in all the work of his hands and in the fruit of your womb and the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. Now watch. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous just as he delighted in your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law and turn to the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 15. See, I've set before you today life, prosperity, death, and destruction. Life and death. For I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord will, your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you draw away and bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing Jordan to enter and possess. crossing over. They were crossing over into Palestine, the Canaan promised land. They were waiting to cross over. This was the covenant that you were going to live under in the promised land. This is what they were going to have to live under as the Israelites. Now watch verse 19. This day I call heaven and earth to witness against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God and listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, how many of you think that you can sneak under the cross, go all the way back to this that we've just read, and try and claim the promises and the blessings? Hello. How in the world can you get back to something that was so clearly spoken to Israel? Moses to Joshua, this is the promises. These are the blessings. These are the cursings. Deuteronomy 28, all the way through. Blessings, cursing, blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing. And I have Christians all the time who say, and I've been believing God for the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. I'm thinking, how? What spiritual gymnastics are you doing to get over the cross, jump through the cross, run back to Moses and to these guys when they're about to enter the promised land, and you want to take their blessings? Why in the world would you want to go to an old covenant if there is a new covenant? Surely a new covenant would be better than an old covenant. How in the world could trying to get the promises of these poor sausages who are going to suffer all this mess? And let me ask you, how many of them managed to get the blessings? Zero. Why? Because they couldn't keep the law. It was impossible to keep the law. So nobody was declared righteous by the law, so nobody could get the blessings of the law. It was deliberately set up to make you fail and to expose you as a failure and a sinner and in need of a Savior. Now the Savior has come, and he has got new blessings in a new covenant based on faith and grace that are so superior to this back here. People, listen. Back under the law, they were given all the feasts. Trumpets, tabernacles, Pentecost, all the feasts. And I still am amazed at Christians celebrating the feasts. Flags. Horns. I'm going, get saved. My God, get saved. There's no life in the law. The law produced death. The letter of the law produced death. The life came by the Spirit. We're in the dispensation of the Spirit. This dispensation has passed. This covenant of Moses is fulfilled. It's over. We are in a brand new covenant. I think that's enough for you today. I don't think you can handle any more. So we will continue next week. And next week we go through the cross into this. And we start doing some comparisons of this and this. And we start looking at what God promised us. You better come ready with your shouting shoes, a belt to strap you down. Come ready, prayed up, for God to show you some stuff. Because I'm telling you, when you begin to see what God really has done for you, your life will never, ever, ever be the same. Because you see, really what we're doing is we're actually just filling your rockets with fuel. You ain't blasted off yet. We haven't lit your fire. You haven't. We will light your fire next week. All right, baby, come light my fire. Every eye closed. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful truths of your word. We know, Lord, that the lights have been turned on for us. Our eyes have been opened. We're so excited to learn what you provided for us. Lord, Christianity is not about religion. Christianity is about life, and it's about living in the relationship with you. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But Lord, my heart goes out to people that are here today who haven't entered into this relationship. They've been held back by old church teachings, doctrines, denominational teachings, what they've been raised with in their family, all kinds of stuff that are holding them back. And I believe that today, Holy Spirit, you gave them a glimpse of what it would be like to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. While every eye's closed and no one's looking around. My friend, you're here today for the most important purpose of your life. If you have not yet entered into a covenant relationship with Jesus, would you do so today? Enter in. Come and receive what Jesus has provided for you. Come and partake freely of the bread of life. You don't have to be on the outside looking in. It's available to you. He paid a heck of a price for you to receive it free. All he asks is, believe me, and it's yours. Just like Abraham believed, and his faith.